Welcome to the Williams Nikon YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, it's Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, Monty. Good morning, Steve. Anybody else?
I'm here.
Good morning, Dad.
How's everybody?
Well, still living here.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Well, I have an appropriate lesson for today. So, actually, it's 7:01. And so, good morning and welcome to our health style call. Very important things we've been learning all year. And we're going to talk about some things that we haven't talked about today before. We're going to talk about today. It's a whole different thought about becoming more mind and body fit and supporting the practice of habitual health style choices and things, activities we might want to do to be prepared in all manners of ways. We thank you, Steve Krobeck, for recording our calls on allswell.org. Don't know that we have any guests on here today. If they do, would you please speak up? So, good morning, all you guys. I didn't hear come in. If you are new, or please speak up if you'd like to and tell us who's calling in. And we welcome you to get on the WebEx if you have a question about getting on that. Just speak up and we'll help you. Okay, got the phone all set. So again, welcome to our lifestyle call. Let us move forward with our conversation and discussion. We are a group dedicated to helping ourselves and others get and stay healthier as a continual effort. And so we have a chart here on the screen to be able to help us know some of the things just with the way that we eat to stay healthy. There are 10 points here. We go over these in a little bit more detail on Monday. So if you're new, then you would probably want to come back or listen to the call, a Monday call on the allswell.org. Site. So we shall move ahead if there's no questions there. So today we are going to talk about preparedness. If a disaster happened in your area, how long would you survive? Whom can you count on to help in case of disaster? And what do you need to have on hand in time of disaster? So since this is a rather serious subject, I thought maybe we would look at a little funny. What fits your busy schedule better? Exercising 1 hour a day or being dead for 24 hours a day? So remember that little saying as we go through some of these things, because being prepared does take some effort. It does take some time. But in looking at those poor people and Hurricane Sandy back there on the East Coast, and knowing that they weren't prepared for disaster, their whole area wasn't prepared for disaster. When they heard that the disaster was coming, they just stayed there. I didn't hear anybody suggesting that they leave that much. I think in Katrina they did suggest that they leave. Okay, so think about what kind of disasters you might have in your area. And what kind of disaster might we have? Are we prepared for this disaster? So we have one here representing maybe earthquakes or tsunamis or hurricanes or whatever, tornadoes and everything. They have been increasing so much that we need to be ready for them. Around here, we have earthquakes and volcanoes, I guess, primarily. There's another thing. 10 years ago, we had Steve Jobs, Bob Hope, and Johnny Cash. Now we have no jobs, no hope, and no cash. And so there are so many people looking for jobs. And any kind of these disasters, it is very likely that the stores will clear out very, very quickly. I remember one time when he lived in Yakima, someone started a rumor that there was going to be a toilet paper shortage. And I'm trying to think, probably happened over here on this side of the mountains as well. And in no time at all, there was no toilet paper in the grocery stores. Did you guys find that to be true over here? Or
yes.
Wherever you are?
Yes, and it was Johnny Cash. Johnny Carson, who started that rumor on TV.
What? So, Margaret in Tennessee, did you hear about that? Or Nancy in Texas, did you guys have that happen? Oh, was it, I don't know, less than 20 years ago, since I didn't, 15 years ago?
No, we didn't.
I can't remember it being toilet paper, but I remember something happening, so that's probably what it was. I'm sure, because I remember when I joined this club, they were all savings, they were preparing for something, and I can't remember what it was, but yeah, we had a similar thing happen.
I know here on the island where when there is a storm warning out, we know that there's going to be a lot of wind. If you don't have already, you have your heater or matches or fire sticks or whatever you need to have, you go out to the store and try to get them. If you're not just the first few there, then they're going to be gone.
Ruth, that reminded me that here in Tennessee, we hear it's going to be snow. Possibility of snow, everybody runs to the grocery store. They get milk and bread. The shelves are cleared out. You just got to hear it might happen, snow, and they cleared out. The store's out.
That's right. So do you have, how many of you do have food storage or things that you think you need? How many of you done something to be prepared?
I'm present.
Very little for us.
Okay.
And little for me because I tell myself I don't have much storage room, and I really don't, so I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
Do you have an empty space under your bed?
A little, yes.
There's no food storage under there?
No
water storage?
That's a good idea.
I had never thought of that, Ruth, so I need to get my mind thinking in a different direction.
Well, that's why we have these calls. Anybody else have anything to add?
Well, yeah, just any vacant space that you have behind, a lot of people leave space, underneath some of your big chairs. I mean, there's ways of disguising it. Behind your couches, in your closets, on the floor of your closets, wherever you have any open space, you can put locations, and I know that's what I've done here. My closets are basically full of, I did go through the toilet paper scare, and I noticed yesterday I was looking at something on the internet, and one of the things, the picture that it had that they said that the new gold now in the East Coast is toilet paper, and people are actually paying tremendous amount of money for people that they're bartering with toilet paper. So, and I even saw the picture of it, so.
So there you go.
Making sense. Most people when they're there, they don't think of necessities. You know, they think of just food, but there's a lot of other things. Yeah, I've got about a year and a half of I could survive for a year and a half without leaving the house if I had to.
You know, and we live on farms. You've grown up and lived on a farm kind of there for most of your life. Of course, and where we live clear up there on top of that mountain, and we were snowed in a lot of times so that we wouldn't, you didn't just go to the grocery store every week anyway. And so I have always been in the habit of just getting most of the things once a month or so. But I think I probably told you guys one time we were snowed in and we had canned venison, green beans, and we did have potatoes until we ran out of them, and then we had some rice. And so that's all we had for every meal for a while. I think we probably had, for our dinners anyway, I'm sure we had eggs, a few eggs at least, because we always had chickens. We did have animals that we could have killed and eaten, but we were having the same thing over and over, but at least we had something. We had ran out of a lot of things because we were snowed in for a long time that time.
Well, they're talking about this morning that the East Coast is getting ready to get hit with another one, and they're even telling people already to start to evacuate, plus the highlands are really going to get clobbered, highlands back east. I don't know how high that is, but they're going to get anywhere up to 3 to 6 more inches of snow. So I just feel for those people that didn't have anything, they weren't prepared for this, for the last one, but this new one that's coming up, I don't know what they're going to do. I think we're going to see some situations that we don't want to see.
Yeah, we have already. And they don't have any heat. And there's 29 degrees. Now it's going to get colder. And they're going to have to get them out of there. I mean, it seems like that somebody in whoever is supposed to be organizing and helping the areas would have prepared with big buildings somewhere where these people could go, even in the schools or whatever, so that they could go in the get into the gymnasiums or something and toss them out of there.
Well, that's one of the things I think where most people get a little confused, I think, in regard to preparedness or being prepared for an emergency situation, is the government's not going to be there. There's no way in my mind that they can really be there. And so if we as individuals don't think about those kind of things and think about we're not going to get nobody might possibly get to us for a week or even longer, and it proves it again here on the East Coast, what's happening right now is just difficult for the government. You can't depend on the government to be there for you in a need of a disaster. You can depend upon them, but you'll be one of the ones that suffer in the long run if you're not prepared.
That is a main point. Thank you very much, Monty. That's a main point of what I wanted to bring across today, and you did it very well. I like that. And you can't depend on somebody else, but the government should still take care of those people who need to be dependent or who are dependent, I guess. You'd think that they would have a plan enough to at least say, get out of there when there's a storm coming. Okay, so here we have in NECAM, we have a water purifier. I don't know anything that you need worse than you need to have a water purifier. And one that's portable, probably. I'd probably take, if I had to evacuate, I think I'd take my water bottle with me. And that filter's going to last, and an extra filter. I think that is going to be invaluable. We were mentioning also those things that will be, to really realize, those things that are going to be scarce, that can be valuable for trading. They're trading toilet paper. You know, I have the heirloom seeds. Those things are, if we ever have a big disaster nationally or that type of a thing, those every seed will be worth a fortune practically. Okay. And of course,
One question or one comment. I know you have, all right, we have the water filter. What are you doing to prepare for having water? The city water comes through my tap. Suppose I have no water.
One of the things you can do is get, you can get big containers that are no BPA. I know John, our son-in-law John, got some. We have them out in the garage, even though we have about 5,000 gallons of water out there by our well, because we've got these big retainers. Actually, we probably have 7,500 gallons. And then we have a swimming pool, but he's still got some other water, I guess, so we could put it in a truck and haul it somewhere. So we have these big barrels that are non-BPA that we can have out in the garage, and they are full of water, so you can get those. But then where are you going to put that? You're just going to have to Another thing that I have done is I buy things in glass jars a lot, big glass jars, and I was storing that for a while, but I didn't realize water wasn't something I was likely to have a shortage of, and it was taking up some of my space. I didn't want to take it up where it was, and so I bought those green bean salad or those five bean salads that they come in the big jars, and I was filling those up with water when we emptied them out. So that's one thing you can do, Margaret, is get glass jars, and that might be something you want and put water in those.
Yeah, the other thing you can do for emergency situations for 7 days or 2 weeks or whatever, it's been a disaster like they're doing on the East Coast now, and that is, I store water, but I also, when I first started, I even bought the gallons of water in the grocery stores because it didn't bother me. Because I had I could just dump them in my, I wasn't drinking that water, but I could dump it in my waterfall and utilize it that way. So, and the other thing, if you're thinking about next time you go to the store, just kind of be more prepared of where you're going and look for water. I mean, it could be a creek, it could be a gravel pit somewhere, it could be something, and if you've got some way of filtering that water, as you travel around, start looking for water that's real accessible, that could be accessible by where you live. Most of us, unfortunately, don't have what Ruth has, but those are just part of it, or buy some, like I said, at the grocery store, enough to get you through for a week or so, and store it, put it in a closet somewhere. One thing you got to remember, though, that bottled water does expire. There are always expiration dates on bottled water, whether it be the gallon bottles, the big ones, or, you know, the thicker plastics, or the little water bottles. I don't buy them. I buy the ones that have more containers, and then I utilize my own water here when I have it to store for.
So the water is probably not going to expire if you get it into glass jars. I agree with all that Monty said, first of all, I should say. But it is, if you have it in glass jars, you won't have probably that expiration. It's probably... But again, then you can, if it is, then I guess you could still pour it through your water purifier. The other thing in finding some water, I want to have iodine tablets. I did think I had them on one of my pictures here, but I don't know. I think I didn't. They weren't really iodine tablets. On hand, so that if you have to get it out of the ditch or somewhere, that you can boil it, you can put some, if you don't have a way to boil it, that you can put those water those iodine tablets, or chlorine tablets if you have those. I think they have an expiration, and maybe the iodine doesn't. Does that hurt you, Monty, or somebody?
They have expirations on them, but the iodine and chlorine will last the longest.
So then you put those in the top with your water.
Yep.
Or you might want to put them in our water filter works pretty fast. I think I would put them in a jar with the tablets and let them dissolve in there and stir them around a bit, then pour it in there.
The other thing, too, Ruth, remember when we're talking about the waterfall is, I'm kind of a person that I like to be prepared. I don't like to be caught with my pants down, as the saying goes. But not only do you need the waterfall, but, you know, I have up to 2 years' worth of extra filters always on hand here at the house, again, for that purpose. So when you buy your waterfall, most people get a waterfall, but they don't think of buying two or three extra filters in case of emergency. Same way with my water bottle. I have about a year's supply of water bottle filters here that I keep only for myself and not for the idea of selling them.
Good. That's a good idea. Thanks for suggesting that. I think we better get some more ourselves. I have found, I don't know about you guys, when talking to people about this water bottle, some people have to have that filter. I just had mine replaced, and I bet Dennis squeezes the water out for me to clean that filter. He must have done it 15 times before I was satisfied with it. And he didn't believe me, so he poured it two cups, one out of his water bottle, which had been using for a while, and then one out of mine after all those bottles of water, and asked me which one, and I could still tell which one was the new filter. So, encourage people, if they think it doesn't taste good, to filter it, to flush it more. Some of us have extra taste buds or something. Okay. So we want to have, we want to survive. We want to be prepared. And so one of the things to do is to dry your food. And if you're in sunshine like it was in Yakima, when I did food drying over there outside, like these ladies are doing it. But so if it's warm, that's one idea, so that you can have an economical way that's not going to thaw out or when the freezer goes bad. I think it's easier and takes up less space than canning. But anyway, that's one way to do food. I'm just going to go through my pictures and I'm going to probably run out of time. But canning is also good because that's not going to thaw out. You know, the freezing is nice, but the canning is more durable. This is just a little cook stove thing I saw, so I put that on there. And this is an Excalibur food dryer. If you want to dry your food inside, like I do here, you want probably the biggest one you can get so that you can dry the most food at one time. And so this Excalibur is probably the number one rated one. And I think it will definitely pay off. I'm drying, we had the people over last night and had pears and strawberries in the salad, and there were some left, and so now they're in the food dryer. And so then you don't waste either. You can just stick those things in. I have mine on my counter practically all the time. So I am now drying the pears, which I did have to purchase. I didn't have them growing here, and strawberries, and I will soon be drying bananas to have those on. And I did not recommend drying kiwis. They turn out awful. Anyway, I didn't think it's successful. One of the, my favorite things are the tomatoes. They taste better. They are so good. I can hardly not eat them. So I love food drying. And this is just another storage thing. Make use of some storage somewhere. And all the different things you can put in glass bottles. These are undoubtedly not sealed. These all are sealed usually. You can put some things like jelly, so you can put in your refrigerator. Here's this one. What fits your very busy schedule better? Exercise. Doing food preservation, I should have fixed that, an hour a day, or being dead 24 hours a day, or starving, or your children, or grandchildren, or neighbors even. And so then there's a food storage freezer chart type of thing of different things you might want to have, but you have your own one, so that's the last one. So, I want to just read over with us. Okay, we covered the water, and you know about foods, you'll want to keep your sugar, have a staple of salt and sugar and, about sugar, some kind of sugar, sweetener maybe, and pepper. They have a lot of things on here that we wouldn't do, but you want to have some extra of your food supplements. Some of the supplements we really try to stay quite a bit ahead on because we would never want to run out of them. And be sure and be ready with your medication they have to have. Should have a first aid kit. You can just get this list on, this list is just online. Bandages and that type of thing. Tools and supplies. One of the things we have to have around here, we always have to have some matches or some one of those little fire sticks to light your candles with if you have those. We got some little lanterns recently that worked really well, but we also have a little we have a sun generator, and we also have another little generator. You can just charge it up. It's about probably 15 or 16 inches long and probably 10 inches, eight inches across and 8 inches high, so probably 8 by 10, rectangular. And you can charge that thing up, and then when the lights go out, well, then you can plug it in, so you can run a heater, you can run whatever, and it lasts for quite a long time. But it weighs a ton. I mean, I don't know how heavy it is, but it's heavy for me. But I can carry it. So, you can get these lists. I'm not going to read through them all. Clothing and bedding, especially looking at those people on the East Coast, that would be something. Thermal underwear, But then also remember for babies and for special things for other family members that have needs, that they're really looking for diapers and formula back in the East Coast because they weren't prepared for their babies either. So, something to do. Some cards, some games. That helps a lot in helping family members be able to have something to keep them from going crazy in times when they're maybe isolated or just need something to do if you don't have any electricity or all that. Now, another thing that I wanted to cover is being prepared with something to barter with. And we've been buying silver. Gold's gone too high to be relevant, mostly. So then the other thing is for us to keep working for our children's freedom, never give up, so that we can have a happy, free country. Okay. Anybody want to share, kind of, or ask questions about what you might need to be prepared or make suggestions that I haven't kind of covered?
Well, okay. I'm going to just make a couple more suggestions, if you don't mind, Ruth. And that is
That'd
one of the
good.
Things that I think is very important because it's communication. So when you lose power or a grid goes down or whatever, normally people don't have radios that, battery-powered radios or whatever. Well, I went out and I believe in it's called a Kaito, K-A-I-T-O, and it's called a Voyager. It's just a little radio that works off of sun-powered or batteries. It's got a hand crank on it, but I can get all the weather reports. Actually the weather reports come from NOAA, N-O-A-A, and it doesn't matter whether I got power or not, but I still got communication with communication coming into me to let me know what's going on. And I think that's one of the main things is in emergency situations that people don't know what's going on around them, so they need to have some sort of a little emergency radio rather than just battery powered. Like mine even has a little solar panel on it that I could put it in the window, recharge it if I ever ran out of batteries. The other thing that I think is real important, and that is that prepare. One thing I've noticed here when we lost a lot of electricity last year for over a week or so, that people lost an awful lot of food because it's easy to go to the grocery store and buy frozen dinners and all that kind of stuff. But when you buy frozen dinners, you better have some way of eating them hummers. So that's why I believe in preparedness means that you got to put things in stock that you can eat out of a can. I know how we feel about that. But when it's in a situation of whether it's your life or starving, I think I'd prefer to eat out of the can than starve. So.
Right. We have the hand crank radio as well, and flashlights that are hand cranked. And then be sure that you have batteries on hand. And then a generator if possible. We have a generator, but John hauls it over to his house and plugs in his freezer, and then he brings it over here and plugs in to our freezer. We have a place where we're going to get a generator that runs our whole house, but it just didn't seem like that we would ever really want to do that, so it was never on top of our priority list that much. So, but since we had the small one. I thought of something else when Monty was saying that. Things that you have to have. Oh, communication. Another thing that has been suggested to us and we have done is, so you have your family scattered all over the place and you have some kind of an emergency and the phone lines are down. The cell phones may be working, and if they are, then what you want to do is set up one or two people that are outside the area that you can call and tell them you're okay or this is where you are. And then you tell your family that is the number that they call to find out if they can't find us or find you or want to know if you're okay. And so we have a couple of people that are identified as our family locators. So anyway, that's another communication thing to do. We have a list of things we're working on, but I didn't know where that list was at the time of night last night when I was looking at this and inspired that this is what we need to do, is everybody needs to be prepared. And so, anybody else have any questions, suggestions, things that you've done to be prepared? Okay. Tomorrow, Nancy is going to talk to us about, what were you going to talk about, Nancy?
I'm going to cover the SCIT, the story behind it. And
good. Yes. All right. And we'll look forward to that. Okay, everybody, have a good day. And remember also, preparedness is going to be preparedness about jobs, which Rick Murphy on his call the other night said that the jobs were probably not going to be coming back, and a lot of them we are sure would not be coming back, and so we need to be independent and have our own business. And he is going to be doing a call on Saturday, 9 o'clock Pacific time, and so look on the Pathfinder site to get the information about that, get people over there and to your house, and help them to be able to watch and listen to that presentation, the Uprising presentation that Rick is doing on Saturday. We certainly recommend that. And Dennis, I sent it out, so if you didn't get it, let us know. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Ruth.
You're welcome.